I grew up in a small village nestled between cascading green mountains with streaming rivers that were teeming with life. On warm summer evenings, we would sit under a blanket of stars and my grandfather would tell us tales about the land in which our ancestors lived in the hereafter. He would tell us exactly how to talk to our ancestors and how to create communication. I'm joking. Mpumekas. The truth is, by the time I set foot in any kind of village, I was already in my 30s. I mean, both my grandfathers passed on before I was even born. And the assumption that we tend to make is that those who grew up in the villages were closer to the knowledge base of African spirituality, whereas those of us who grew up in the townships are generally distant from it. And what we normally imply as spiritual usually deals with things to do with the church. I, for one, did not grow up being told anything about ancestors or African spirituality. I mean, sure, once in a while, every family in the hood did some kind of umsebenzi, which was said to be a Thanksgiving ceremony. But the reasoning behind lo umsebenzi was generally vague at best. I actually don't recall any conversations with my elders that dealt directly with our spiritual history outside of the church. As a result of this, many of us find ourselves challenged by how to navigate African spirituality. We don't know who to turn to, especially for those whose families are either clueless about this kind of belief or are totally against it. There's also a growing belief that African spirituality is for people who have a calling to be a healer. But the reality is that it is only a very, very small number of people who are called to become healers through ukuthwasa. Yet, many people feel deeply drawn to this form of spirituality, but not as a way of becoming a healer, but to understand it in a way in which they can connect with the divine and be guided through their lives. So the question is, where do you even start? If you are a person who simply desires spiritual guidance within the framework of African spirituality, but you don't necessarily want to perpetually be consulting with a sangoma, where do you go? To try to answer this question, I'm going to speak to the person who was my very first spiritual mentor. Way back in 2012, I went for my very first Sangoma consultation since I was a little child. It was a consultation that, though I did not know it at the time, would change the direction of my life. The person that I went to go see, back then I knew her as Refilwe Lerumo, but today most people know her as Koko Moyo. So when I started thinking about this idea of finding someone to talk to, specifically, not necessarily a healer, as in sangoma, not necessarily holohlola, but to talk to and get a different perspective.
Yeah.
So I was like, I was thinking a lot of that. And then you came to mind and I'm like, it makes sense to talk to you because you are my first spiritual mentor, right? This was 2012, I think. You were still Koko, where was it?
Diepkloof.
Diepkloof.
Yes.
You were still that side.
And I actually remember because social media wasn't like this.
Yo, now it's hectic. Then. It's on another level now.
Social media wasn't what it is now.
Mm-mm.
And I remember I found you on Facebook. At the time when I found, when I came across your profile, I was living in Cape Town.
Mm-mm.
And then I moved here.
Mm.
You had the green top Gastok suite.
Remember? Yes.
I remember that. Wow. In particular. Yeah, no, I remember that. And the reason I'm still not entirely sure why I felt that I needed a consultation, because I didn't at the time, 2011, 2012, I didn't necessarily believe in African spirituality, you know? And I think it's also a thing that a lot of people sort of trying to deal with, because I'm not sure if it was a curiosity, you know, just to hear Batlobona,
yeah,
you know. And I think at the time I personally wasn't very conscientized to the context of what could potentially happen
or come from it,
you know. So, and I remember I came to you because I was having a particular dream, a recurring dream, and so I came, I told you, like, you know, I'm having this dream where in this dream it wasn't really a specific dream. I kept experiencing a certain entity in every dream that I was having.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
It was like a person, but I couldn't see their face.
Mm.
Or it would be a shadow. Mm. Or it could be, you know, a presence where in every dream I had, there was a particular part of the dream or a person that I couldn't sort of recognize. Mm. And that's why I came. And
okay.
Then, yeah. And I came and we consulted for an hour and I didn't believe anything you said. I was like, rubbish. I didn't believe anything. I'm like, yabon. No, because before then, my only context with this was when I was very young with my father.
Yeah.
And our parents treated it with this weird secrecy.
Yeah.
You know, where he would take me to different people and he would never explain, you know. I would just wake up on a Saturday morning and be like,
yeah.
You know, you're getting cut. And it's very invasive. But at the same time, you don't know why. At no point did he explain anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I grew up with it really turned me off from that. Because I didn't trust the secrecy. It felt like a scam.
Yeah.
You know? So I came and then we spoke. I'm like, okay. The thing that caught me was when you said that entity was my father, right? Who had passed on about 4 years before the time we spoke. Yeah. And then that's what really captured me, because there was a sentence that basically began my spiritual journey that you said.
Mm.
You said, it's my father and the reason I can't see him is because he hasn't learned how to communicate because he's young in spirit. I think out of all the things that you said, that is the one thing that caught me. Like everything else, like, I saw. You know what I mean? That caught me. Mm. And over time, that first consultation has basically, it took me until September 2020 to fully understand
what I meant by
what
that.
You meant by that whole consultation.
Sure.
Right? Because I still remembered parts of it. And it took me until this very month to fully unpack.
Yeah.
You know.
Full circle.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm. And so now I decided to do this episode to try to figure out when a lot of people are finding themselves drawn into this particular form of spirituality. Mm. Right?
Mm.
But they don't know how to enter it because there's a belief that you can only do it if you have a calling. You're
going
to be a sangoma,
yeah.
You know. But what I want to understand, my first question is, why is spiritual mentorship in African spirituality not a thing? Like, why do we not have that infrastructure?
You know, it's almost like show dressing.
Mm-hmm.
With the whole religious context, spirituality in how a religion is looked at, it's only looked at in a certain mold.
Mm-hmm.
That if you come out dressed in anything different, you're deemed to already believe in something negative or different or untoward.
Mm-hmm.
So generally, even in a household, much like how you explained, they would just take us in the morning and huiwakai. There would be no actual sit down. Hore, my child, you're not going crazy because you're dreaming so much.
Mm-hmm.
But that innate first conversation that you have with your parents to firstly calm the child, you know, make the child feel like they're not an extraterrestrial, you know, being by virtue of having this gift. And that's just still in the homestead. Now, we then come into the greater part of the family where we have influences because my mom is like mad cult, mad religious. And versus my grandfather from the rural area who's mad culturalist. And those two already, when they try to solve a problem, they go at it in different ways. And there was never a blanket situation where every time there's a family situation, we sit down and we open it up and we get everyone's view and then we see how we can assist from there. So by the time it leaves the home and it goes out into the environment and the places that we live in, then we no longer have control over those conversations. So that's why we always are going to fall into the different molds that we are being shown. Because firstly, your own dad does not have an identity. He chose not to have one because he chose to have a secrecy behind how he approached his curiosity about spirituality. He was afraid of the conversation that he was supposed to have with his son, who today has a gifted child. Do you understand that now it's a repetition? Whereas if dad was brave enough to go to a sangoma, brave enough to take their child in tow on their first consultation, that when dad is having this aha moment, it's for everyone so that the child can actually see there's a whole journey to it and not just a all of a sudden or a magical moment or, you know, almost like these amplified created moments where you actually don't believe that it actually happened because you were never there for the beginning of it. So that by the time you're enlightened about something, you even don't take it in its powerfulness of what it actually supposed to do for you because you are not there. You've been omitted from the conversation. Now your dad even passed and left you with more questions for something he was pretty sure he was trying to solve when he was alive, but he didn't do it in its entirety to allow for the whole family to be a part of the conversation. And even in the homestead vibe, what more on a cultural vibe, what more on a linguistic vibe, what more in place of where you stay, because it just builds and builds and builds. That's why your role models are not people in your home, but the people in your community. So if our communities are not living in a certain way and only celebrating Heritage Day on a particular day, it goes back to talking about the same thing. Whereas we have your Easters and everything and all the things that don't relate to us, but have been fed to us saying that this is exactly who we are and what we're supposed to believe in. When you as a child, when you look at it and it doesn't make sense to you, but your parents are not willing to sit down with you. I mean, parenting is so difficult right now. Parents are not even spending time to do homework with children. What more to teach them about who they are on a spiritual level?
Sure. It's interesting that you mentioned language in this particular, because if I look back at our first meeting, that first consultation, the thing that made me not believe you was the language. Right? Because in this practice, there's a certain vocabulary of language that is used. And I was totally unfamiliar with it. You know what I mean? There are things that are said, there are phrases that are used that almost conflict with my understanding of, you know what I mean? You know, there's this, there's that. And I struggled with understanding that. And I think in some ways, even today, there's still some linguistic issues that I personally still need to sort of unpack. And do you think that there is a way that this language can be simplified, or is it one of those that it's important that it is kept as it is, with so that meaning is not lost in the translations of those things?
I'm actually half and half on that. I think if you look at the body of work that I've been building over the years, I don't try to speak like most like deeply philosophical people, or, you know, because I feel like you lose the message to an a layman person, mm-hmm. you know, because you are bombarding them with all these big words. Yes, mm-hmm. you sound really great and you probably have a whole point going on there, mm-hmm. but to a point who's not even understanding, much like the languages you're talking about, mm-hmm. then you might as well not have the conversation because you've lost mm-hmm. them in the first line, mm-hmm. you know. So in terms of perhaps the particular terms that we use in msebenzi namadlozi, umsamo, ukufemba, ukuphahla, those things are names of actual things, you know. It's more about the curiosity of a person to go on to learn about what they mean. I mean, like umuntu omhambayo, if a line like melo fembiwe is said, you follow up and say, what is that? Much like mabati hambiyo phahla, uthi what is that? So it's also on you to want to learn about it, right? Because for you to join the industry, you must talk like them, right? It's only different if you're going to use the westernization of languages for you now to make it seem more different than what the actual conversation is. Msebenzi namadlozi, we can start it from beginning till end without a single word of English spoken, you know? But whenever there's like, podcasts or conversations that are being had, we want to speak like great Egyptians or whatever, these people that we want to reference. You can't be powerful by virtue of how you sound. Your power resonates and is innate with you. So even if you can speak with the most basic of words,
okay. So now with in 2020, there's a lot of people, you know, we're still in lockdown, there's the pandemic, there's all of these things happening, and a lot of people sort of find themselves wanting to hold on to something, and a lot of people are turning to spirituality. But now, like we're saying, people would like to participate in African spirituality, right? But they don't know how to. And now what I'm sort of trying to get to understand is that, is there room to have spiritual mentorship outside of ukhlola and ukubula? And, you know, is there room? Because I think a lot of people want to talk, but they fear consultations.
But futhi, what I'm getting from that, for most part, umuntu uavoid indaba zakhe.
Basically, but they want to know, they want to learn, but they don't want to hear. There's things they don't want to know.
Yes, so it's a bit tricky also, right? Because as a mentor, I'm meant to hold space for you, right? So if I'm going to, let's say, come guys, let's meet at a park somewhere, bring your own baskets, dress in your cultural wear, and we're going to bring African instruments, we're going to literally zen out, right? And by virtue of me saying that, I'm already wanting to hold space for you. That anything that is under spirituality, we can host in that moment. We're going to have an opening ceremony, like maybe it's Phahla Khona, or we're going to speak about or manifest whatever we want to achieve in this particular gathering. And then, therefore, we're going to now start delving into the different things that are in there. Spirituality is broad. We could spend the entire day talking about dreams and still not be satisfied, because there's so many people and it resonates differently for each, you know, each spirit. And Omunye is going to want to ask about Uphahla. Omunye is talking about the series of bad lucks that's going on in their life. But when once you're in an environment like that, as Mtana Wamadlozi or any kind of gifted person, you're very likely to tap in. And by virtue of that, Umoya Wako wants to enlighten a person about their lives. So it's almost like a tricky thing you would want to ask of us, because we want to hold space for you. We know that you are lacking the support at home, the right conversations, the right language, you know, the right influences when it comes to you opening up your wings and want to fly, you know, the spiritual journey. But once we do host those ceremonies, it's inevitable. It's almost like I'm doing this podcast with you right now. But it was ilifike lifuna ukuhamba ligijima ngindaba zakho. I can try avoid it, but kulimala mina.
Okay.
So over a period of time of me repeating the same action, I'm going to be a mess, because I'm not allowing the innate ability that lives within me to breathe, to speak. And why then am I holding the space for you then, if I'm not going to literally fully allow your growth to happen or your journey to begin with me?
Hmm. Okay, I actually never thought of it that way.
I mean, it goes back to when you and I met and how we met and how you're talking about social media was far different than it is right now, which I agree. And part of the reason why I believe you chose me is because of how I was presenting myself, right?
Yes.
In comparison to other Zangomas at the time, you know, or just generally.
Yeah.
Because there are people, let's say we go on a YouTube platform, there are people that are willing to talk about Ilwa and Uklisana or whatever, anything that's untoward, freely, without feeling any social responsibility. Mm-hmm. Whereas, I don't know what their relationship is with social media, but like, it's almost like realizing that when you are on a platform, you must be open to just about anything, but the control remains with you. But if I'm going to use a certain platform in such a way that then I'm not achieving the greatness that I think I'm achieving. I can have as many likes, as many reshares as I possibly can have and break the internet, but if it means nothing. I might as well just sit in a corner somewhere and do nothing.
Sure. And I think the social media thing has become a very contentious point within spiritual leading, in that there are people on either side saying it shouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
You know, none of these things should be, there's no Sangoma who should be online right now.
Yeah.
Besides just saying that I'm a Sangoma, here are my contact details, and then leave it at that.
Yes.
You know, whereas there are other people who are saying, I can consult with you over the phone. I can consult with you by Skype, you know. What do you think is there like a middle ground in this? Is that because some people do not believe at all that Ilozi can function through technology at all?
Okay. I think, again, it's a level of exposure.
Mm-hmm.
How much you've actually been able to see of a Sangoma do or any light work or spiritual healer. So as people, generally, we like to put boundaries to things that we don't understand, because it makes us feel better to stand on something and rather to say, I don't know, or enlighten me, I'd like to know how it works, right? So because Kona Ugoko is clearly a vendor somewhere who's literally doing their work as purely African as it comes, versus a digital Sangoma like myself, right? And I called them myself that because I was leveraging it.
Yeah.
I did not want to own it. I did not want to be the only person on it, but I wanted to leverage it, because by using the word leverage, it means that I'm using it in its power to amplify my conversation. And that's why even in the type of content that I make, I don't try to answer questions like, yini mundawo? What is... like a lot more of the sacred things, because I believe that is umsebenzi wokobela wakho, right? And as a mentor, I should know my line. I should not now try ukuthi ngokuthwasise over a YouTube channel. And if I'm being honest, I will know that it's impossible to do that, because where is now then umuthi coming into contact with the student if all their learnings is just online? So yeah, sure, that's still that process. So rather not attempt it if I cannot fully give that person what it looks like it needs in that moment. What it does is it helps to bridge the gap between the conversations that are happening within small circles, within friends, within healers overall. Because I talk about spirituality in its totality.
Yeah.
I can talk about Western tools, your tarot cards, your palm reading, your pendulums, your crystals, your gemstones. And then in the same breath, I come back and I describe Amahia, Gut Ewani. For a person who's having these dreams, I want you to understand that you have the power to still be able to manifest the things that are going on, even if you don't have a physical mentor or your spiritual teacher yet, right? So I'm not trying for you to feel like you've lost your power, because there's a trend that goes on when it comes to Abokobela and their students. Once you go in there, fine, granted, we know everything is standardized when it comes to that. But it also comes to then the problem of ego, where now a teacher cannot be able to differentiate between what I as Refilwe am supposed to do versus what as Ukobela is meant to do. Those people have two different roles when it comes to a student. Mm-hmm. So when I want to push my agenda as Urifilwe, that's when I'm going to now compromise and want to play on someone else's human rights, where I could even start adding stuff like sexuality, and you have to have sex with me for it was like ukuthi liphakame, or even you're not allowed to be. Like, even if when I see that someone comes from an okay family and they're dressed in particular pieces of clothing, and now I'm using those to identify that this person is actually a bit better than me, or they've got more, and I wish I had that growing up. But that's like a refueler issue. Like, what does that have to do with Unlondo emsebenzini wakhe? Unlondo akanandaba. Unlondo, if anything, is going to say, I don't know if you want to damage all your clothes, because all the activities we're going to do is not going to allow you to wear the clothes after we're done with the particular ceremony that we're going to do. So it's irrespective. I'm giving you the opportunity to either you want to carry on being this great looking person in the ceremony, or are you just going to keep it simple and get down to the basics of everything? Even with that said, I want to stress the point which I wanted to begin with in the first place about the differences between Ukobela and a social media mentor, right? Okay. The other part of Ukobela is to make sure that you make not even a replica, but a better version of yourself. Any Ukobela that's going to have a problem ngomntana ohlakaniphile kundlula yena is on an ego trip. Because umntwana comes here not knowing how to help themselves, whether they can't walk or they can't sleep or whatever the issue is, they get into the hands of Ukobela and they start teaching, and they baqala ngokulapha lo mntana lona with whatever ailment they have. Then they enlighten idlozi, balinika amandla to be able to be strong and work through their own issues themselves, etc. But if I'm going to struggle with the fact that umntana sekabona kundlula mina, it's really about ego. I have moved from where I'm supposed to be. Idlozi lazile ukuthi uVusi mele eze kimi. But uyazi futhi ukuthi uVusi idlozi lakhe ligijima kanjani, which is different to mine. I should appreciate the bag I've got, and for the fact that I can attract such amazingly gifted children. Nishaya isifuba ngani? Hayi ukuthi, you know, to crush your spirit and make you feel lesser than I am. And that's where the struggle is. But also with identifying that is you have to be able to distinguish between a mentor as well as Ukobela. Those people play different roles for you and their whole space for you differently as well.
Sure. So then you mentioned a social media mentor.
Yes.
Is that what you believe you are?
I could say so. Okay. With the channel.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's at what point did you make this conscious decision to become that? Was there a point where you made a conscious decision where you told yourself, I'm going to use technology as a platform for myself?
Okay, initially I used the internet because I live in a secluded area. So unlike Elokshin, Magnus, Kupula, Paya, Sizwa, Sakala, you can walk down the road and go see what's going on. Yes, Mema, or you know, Obangat Mema. So I live in plot areas and I don't see my neighbors often. So how is a random person going to come as Othola Atutela Matambo? So I started using drag and drop website tools as a 19-year-old, and then that's when I made my first website. And eventually it became a blog. And that's where the name began. It started off as Lesedi Khanya. Yes.
I remember the website.
Yes. And then I got more vivid dreams of how I should, you know, go by, and that's when Ukoko Moyo began. So there was the transition. But as I said, Dumbeni was basically my own voice to answer all the different mails I was getting, and I found that there was a thread to these mails. So unlike replying to each mail, I was like, whoa, who has the time? Let me make a video.
And you know, when you speak of inboxes and the commonality of things,
there's a
strange, because sometimes I get inboxes because I suppose because if I talk a lot, people assume that, you know, I'm
exactly
or whatever. And what I've noticed is that one of the commonalities is the very sad hopelessness
that people come with.
Like, that is the particular thing that always catches me off guard when I read messages. It's like the desperation of my whole entire life is a mess. And I always ask myself, what do you expect is going to happen
with energy
like if you inbox a healer, you know, whoever it is, and you give them that long story, yes. You know. And I want to believe that it comes from a genuine place.
Of course it
You're
does.
Not being
yeah.
facetious, yeah, you know. Yeah. You're really genuine, but it seems like there's one answer that a person is looking for that they believe will cure
everything
in their life. Why is it that when we approach African spirituality or a healer, we have more of a faith in them fixing so much more than if we go to a psychologist? Because if you go to a psychologist, you don't expect them to fix your life. You know that I'm going to a therapist because there's a particular thing that I'm struggling with in my life, you know, be it depression. And I know that because of this thing, it is impact. I know that my depression is impacting on my job,
yes,
my parenting, my family, my relationships, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas in African spirituality, it's like everything is a mess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why do we approach it that way?
And that's part of the reason why I became a social media mentor, because of those emails and the desperation in there. And I'm an empath, but I'm not one of those people that I'm not going to help you mope. I don't know how to do that.
No, you don't, Shem.
So I can't.
Shem, you don't. Ooh, Wena.
I can't. I for the life of me, I can't. And it easily seems like I don't give a damn.
Yes.
You know? But for those who really know me, know that I can't dwell in it, because if I do, I'm gonna mope more than you. Then now where the solution's gonna come from. So I'd rather not get into it. I'll acknowledge your pain, I'll acknowledge the struggle that you have, but I can't help you carry that burden. So their mentorship began so that I can help you empower yourself, so that you can stop feeling like you're in the pits. And that's why I have your self-care series. I have your candle magic, almost like in your own home, in the little shack that you believe that you have, even if you're living in a mansion, to you, because of the energy that you have right now, it's nothing. You don't see that you are sitting on strong foundation, because when akabuena, you're lacking your grounding. So that is why then I shifted into the GMTV part of things, and specifically talking about uplifting a person's consciousness. To answer your question, I think it's really annoying that you can go to a doctor and they'll start by saying my fee is like 450. It does not include your medicine. And yeah, you're going to go there. You're going to believe this doctor is going to heal me. I'm not going to question anything.
No questions asked.
No, zero. Like, that white coat is going to walk in there. It's going to look at me. Sometimes it's just literally going to look at me and say, you got yellow skin. You know, you got this. But when they come to us, they bring a myriad of issues. They bring a whole list of things that have to do with generational upheaval that obviously cannot be fixed in a session. There's still mental trauma. There's psychology that's into that. There's physiology that's into that, because I tap into your entire being, mind, body, and soul. But if I say my consultation is 300 Rand, yo, you guys are out to get money. But hang on, imiti, I don't use anything less than imiti A10 at a time to heal something. And that's just the basic number. For others, there's more. It could go all the way up to 50. So how am I getting a spoon of each of those meaties to fix your problem if I can't even go to the bush or to a market nearby me for any quick situations to help you? Yet when it comes to me, you want to have conditions. Also, by the time for instance, when you came to see me for the first time, you're curious enough, you just don't know what in the world you're looking for. Then you land a kansin and you sit down and I tell you all the things that are going on with you, and you obviously want to pick what's convenient for you.
Yes.
Again, but when it comes to a doctor, you won't say, no, buddy, that's not what's wrong with me.
I disagree with your diagnosis.
I disagree with your diagnosis. And I'm angry. So by the time you are proudly, and you're only telling me this now, like years later, brave, aren't we? You couldn't tell me then, Guti Koko, if anything, I'm back, because I don't believe. You know? So it's almost like, where's the honesty in all of that? Mm-hmm. We're vilified in the fact that our spirituality is not worth celebrating. Mm-hmm. We don't believe in a diagnosis, yet we have expectation that is far surpassing even what is even possible in a single sitting. Fanele uhambe isangoma or inyanga yakho or whoever you're going to see time and time and time again. I keep saying that even if you could go through 6 healers, it does not mean that the different things that they did for you, nothing happened for you. Because it's easy. Like, to figure into mbeni muta chele gut, yo, ubiya gupi. Hai, melu yuse manzini, ngoba nito leba gwenze yonai sebenzang. Ngoba, how do you know?
Yeah.
Right? Especially when, by the time we figure into mbeni yomuntu, kona into figure, letwa yilozi gut, uvusi needs this on this particular day. It may not be part of the list that he came about, but he also needs this. So how, when you come to Andrew Mbeniami, am I quick to dismiss the work of someone else? Because, I mean, I don't know how to read it on my set of tools, whether it's my bones or ikantlalalam or whatever it is that I use. So there has to be a level of honesty throughout, whether it's industry to industry relations or it's people from outside coming into our industry wanting to learn about us. But we are in charge of that narrative. But for the most part, if I'm not going to see someone else's diagnosis, another healer's diagnosis, as important, and I'm already ridiculing it, what's going to stop this person from all of a sudden believing Guti? They're already fighting amongst themselves. But they just want to all sell me a story so that I can stay with the one that's most convincing.
Yeah.
We are perpetuating the relationship between ourselves. As Zwani, we won't ever see us collaborate. I should be sitting with another healer, I'm cool. In all honesty. Talking about the things that are going on in our industry. But for Guti Sitlale, our egos are just too much for that to happen. For me to invite anybody to my channel, it's either I have to pay them or I have to send them a whole email about how great they are first and butter up their ego before we can get to the social struggles that we have in our community.
Sure. So actually, you brought up a very interesting point, and I think a lot of people have challenges with this thing that I can come to you for and then you tell me a certain set of information. Then I will go to another person and then they give me a different set of information. How should people evaluate the reality that if you go to 3 different sangomas, you're going to get 3 different, not necessarily conflicting information, but different? Because you're going to tell me about my grandmother. I'm going to go talk to someone who's going to tell me about my father. Someone else is going to tell me about a great, great aunt of mine.
Like, yes.
How should people evaluate information? Why is that the case?
I think Mutu generally has to have a level of honesty. Because you came to me and I was 20 years old. I'm 32 now. That's like a whole time that has passed. And if singahlala phansi ngamathambo manje, I will be talking about different things. My confidence will be different. I'm probably going to run a lot longer than I did on your storyline than I did when I was younger. And then you go to a person who's like 75 years old and her whole entire life, that's all she's been doing, right? So you're going to, firstly, people that are on different levels. That's the first thing. So I don't know also what honesty you have, almost like trying to put those people up against each other. Because you're trying to, but I've never heard that before, or you know, you're already wanting to not accept the information for what it is. An honest person is going to have a book, a reference point, that on a particular day, I went to Ukoko Banban. These are the pieces of information that came out and stuck for me. And I've never heard them before. And obviously, by the time I'm coming, I'm asking for you to angish, or depending on what you want to do, whatever the case is. And you take that name and you add it to your book. And you get to see how many times has that name been touched on in all the different sessions I've been in. Which is also open to the level of the depth of the sight that that person has. Omunya won't even touch on a single thing that you've ever been spoken about, but it remains their truth because Idloslabo at the time sees that in you, which perhaps you haven't seen it. You'll see it 20 years later. It did not mean that man wasted your time or needed you to not even doubt them. It just means that their sight was over a certain time period. that you are still going to wake to. You've always been a gifted child. You wake to yourself, right? Which means that even certain activities that you do to sustain your spirit is going to change as the more you grow in your spirituality and your enlightenment. That wasn't needed when you were smaller. So the more uhamba uyohlola, the more you're going to see certain patterns, certain, you know, even your spirit ngokwayo mohlala phansi mkhulusa khulumicathulo la ngaphandle, you can feel there's an energy coming out of this room, out of this heart. What is that saying to you? Awuhambisi nje indlebe nengqondo mohamba uyohlola. Umzimba wakho, amathongo wakho hamba nawe. So there's so much to pick up on that it's going to tell you whether something is of urgency or it's being stressed or whether it's important or it's a, yeah, it's a need to know, but it's not the most important thing right now. But over a period of time, you'll be able to gather all that information and actually see, would see, these people are not saying the different things. They're saying them, finding different words, words for them. But mang neqiniso, futhi ngifaka namaphupho wami khona lapho. I realized that actually a grandmother I've been seeing for eons. I just didn't know how to piece the puzzle. One day, ufike ndumbe nomuntu athi nanga ugogo la maphupho nakho uthi 1 2 3, and you're like, goodness. But if you are not following up on your own spiritual journey, then you're going to miss even the gems that have been dropped in your life for years, because you're always running for a particular line, a particular solution, a particular feel. And no, why are you expecting that? Whoever presented that idea to you?
Sure. I think it sort of ties in with, for me, it ties in with the desperation, because people want to believe that I can come to you and you will cure my mother's cancer, my father's alcoholism, you know, my brother's abuse, my fact that I can't find a job. Like, people believe that, and I want to know, is it possible that all of those things are a cause of one thing?
Impossible. They're sitting on different entities. How can they be caused by the same thing?
Because my sister's having miscarriages. This and this and that is happening, that is happening, that is happening.
So would
there's this belief that all of these things, I can come for cleansing. We do a cleansing.
But
and
the cleansing is on your person. It's for your spirit. How is that cleansing going to now seep through the rest of your people that you live with and bring enlightenment for them? At most, when I said to Bapaki, ever since I went for my cleansing, I'm actually sleeping better, dreaming better, remembering my dreams. I have a high vibrational frequency about me. Then you can get other people in your home to actually see that there's value in what you did. But you cannot take a bath for someone else. I had a halinto. When I take medication, it sits in my body. It has not come because we have the same bloodline. Now you're going to be healed of possible cancer because it's hereditary. Where's the common sense?
I get happy. There's this thing where, and I've heard it a lot, and I think to a large extent, I do believe that some people are called to heal their families.
Oh, certainly. That was me. Indoso yami iphili se ifamily yakithi.
So then how does it sort of merge with that? Yes, you can do certain things that will heal you, but they won't necessarily heal the family. But then in some instances, what you go through then does heal the family.
Okay, I think you're touching on something that I like to talk about a lot, and it's finding out your role in your family. So Uvus is this loudmouth, very curious, wants to learn about this African stuff, turns over rocks to find out about it. But he has a sister that does not give a damn. Those people have two different roles when it comes to the family. So for as long as Uvus has identified what he's passionate about, he can come back home, sieve through it, and come present a certain kind of narrative to the rest of the family. Because he has identified that in him. He can even see Magnemi Imbi Endlini akubizwa omunye ubhuti wakhe, kubizwa yena. So why are you going to expect both these brothers to behave the same way? So you have to identify your role within the family. Are you the emotional support? Are you the mediator when it comes to conflict in the home? Are you the one who leaves the home to go be a breadwinner? And even with that comes a responsibility. You don't just send money home, but there's an education that you have to bring with it so that you can help the family not be in the same financial crisis they were in the first place. So you don't just go to the city and look cool and send money home. most, when you're in the city, what are you learning so you can come and enrich the family, right? So when you identify the role that you have in your family, you act accordingly and you play within that space. So that is how you can identify how, if any, if possibly, can I be the one that heals my family? You have that sister that does not believe in anything but you, agapupi. And everything Ibonayo is in plain sight. You, as the culturally curious brother, you have to figure out a way and a language of how you're going to get that girl into the right groups of people, in the right setting, or in the right pieces of clothing that are going to help her get enlightened and be able to now use her dreams effectively to actually empower the family. But you cannot be in her role. As eager as you are, so you must identify your role within a family. And for you to do that, as a family, collectively, then they'll touch on certain things, like one-liners here and there. Over time, you'll actually realize, but even now I'm always beggar, I have all these old people always walking up to me, asking me for pieces of information. What can I possibly tell them? That's our hints about the state and the type of spirit that you possess. So let me live up to my potential and stop having this juvenile mindset, behaving as if I'm a delinquent and I don't know what's good about my life, whereas you are seeing pieces of gems being shown into your life repeatedly without even your involvement. That's guiding you.
So for people who want to sort of delve into African spirituality, but they are reluctant in that they hear all these horror stories about the wrath of the ancestors, the punishment of this, like, what is it that we are misunderstanding about African spirituality and that whole thing of anger of the ancestors and the punishment and, you know, you could die and all of those things?
I think I always love to bring examples closer to self. Because when you are part of it, you see it differently. Vusi, if I'm in a relationship with you, whether it's a friendship or a mother, daughter, mother, son, whatever the relationship is, and you're always trying to reach out to me and get some kind of advice or get a hug whenever you are not feeling well, but I'm always cold-shouldered when you come to me. Eventually, my body language is telling you what my mouth is not telling you. Eventually, as a child, you're going to stop coming to me. Now, imagine a relationship with your ancestors. If you are, even if you're not getting the signs, because the signs are so different and they come at different times of a person's life. Abanye, when they're young and they can barely articulate themselves. Abanye, when they're older and they're running major corporates. Iskatsak masfigil is figil, you know, for you to intervene and do something. But any relationship that's not maintained is going to fizzle out, for the best or for the worst, right? You can find that it's almost like you're investing into a business, but you're never going to go look for clients or marketing for that business. Then why are you investing in it? For what to happen? You're squandering precious money for it to just go down the funnel because there's nothing tangible coming from it. So in that relationship that you keep with your ancestors, it's mighty important that you identify what your role is to sustain it. If I'm talking to you and you're not saying or you, whatever your feedback is, I don't know what you're receiving. I can't tell whenever you are confused because I'm not getting that feedback from you. So if umuntu thola maphupha from their ancestors and they just keep on getting this information and every day mototswa are you kilori. Okay, so wa lora wetsanga ditoro tsa hao. To acknowledge that you had the dream, to affirm that I got 10% of the dream. This is what I understand from it. Please come back and enlighten me on what else is missing from the conversation. That is manageable. Before it becomes something so disastrous. Because if I'm talking to Anyang Ziba, nothing good can come from that. And that's essentially what's happening when you don't talk to your ancestors, when you don't acknowledge the different signs that you're getting. By the time you go to a mentor or your gobela, they can put it into context for you. But eventually you do end up getting the gist of the picture that, yo, this is a frequency for me. They're like, this is often, this happens, this is like a sign, you know? But you get it and you still choose not to engage it. there's a fear of unknowing if you're doing it right, if you're overstepping. But until you do something, you won't know. You were never a pro driver. You were a pro driver in your sleep until you stepped into a car and realized that I can't drive this vehicle. You messed up enough times and damaged the clutch enough times for you to learn not to do that. So that's the same thing when, whether we are partner, wanting to create a relationship with your ancestors, wanting to create that body of communication with your ancestors. It can't happen on its own. The wrath will always be there. It's a result of not. It's not the beginning point. It's not an entry level. By the time you engage your ancestors, says Gwadil. It's not like that. It has taken a lifetime of you being in existence, of us coming to you in all the many different ways that you've chosen not to act on it, right? For the lack of knowledge or whatever the reason is. Eventually, in all honesty, that thing clicks for you. You see someone who you grew up with who's exactly a spitting image when it comes to their life history, their challenges. But lomuntu ogcina avume indlo ezila kubo. Ogcina avume ukuthwasa. But that doesn't resonate with you. But when you look at everything else, you're basically alike. So don't you maybe think that you should maybe look at yourself in a different eye to see if maybe perhaps spirituality is not the hindrance that you have in your life for you to be able to succeed? So it's largely on us. There's many things that can be done, but it's the first realization of you acknowledging your people. I can't celebrate your people on your behalf.
Sure. I think what has become very important in from the first time that we met, and something that has sort of continuously affirmed, because we didn't consult for long. I think it was like maybe 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
Right. And I think the third time afterwards, we went back to the city. So you jive. I was like, wow. Okay. No, I remember that. Because I came the first time and you spoke to me and I dismissed most of it. Right. And this is what I feel is an important part in my spirituality and in my journey, in that it wasn't just meeting you, it was the things that would subsequently happen. Because I think in 2014 I called you in the middle of the night and I said, there's a friend of mine,
yes,
who I don't know what's happening to her.
Yes.
Right. Because her husband came, I think it was like 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, yeah.
They were my neighbors at the time.
Yeah.
And he comes to knocking on my door. He says, I think we need to take my wife to the hospital.
Yeah.
I'm like, why? He's like, no, she's having a fit. Right.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, cool. So we run downstairs and I get there and then she's on the floor, you know. She's making sounds I've never heard before. Yeah. I've never seen this. I'm like, I've seen people in a fit.
This is not fitting.
No, you know. And I'm like, what do you think is wrong? He's like, I don't know. But I think on a liberty.
Yo.
You know? I'm like, okay.
How did you know to say that?
That's what he said.
Oh, okay.
You know? And I'm like, on a liberty. What does that mean? You know what I mean? I had no idea what then, but at the time, you were the only person that I knew who was a healer. You were the only Sangoma that I knew. And so when he said that, on a liberty, then I'm like, okay, I think there's only one person I can call, right? And then I called you and I didn't even, just after greeting, I said, I have a friend of mine. That time, she's loud, you know? And then you were like, Tsunzalo twas.
Yeah.
I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, no, she's in trance. I'm like, what's a trance? I had no idea of any of that, right? So, and then you told us how to, you coached us to help her, how to get her out of trance, you know? And so she came out of it and it was sorted. And then I think a couple of weeks later, she went, it was 2 weeks, literally 2 weeks, I remember. And then she invited me to her homecoming.
Okay.
Right. It was at her homecoming that I took my first pictures of ceremonies, right? That birthed Thokozadlozi. Right? And then Thokozadlozi then took me around the country.
Yes.
I kept getting invited to very sacred moments, you know. And it has always been strange in that people would expect me to come, you know what I mean? And I think one particular case in the Eastern Cape where I dreamt about the whole ceremony even before I went, you know, magical. Which was confirmation that I was supposed to be doing this work, right? So, and then in the traveling around the country, then I started having questions about what it is that I was experiencing. Mm. And then those questions led to this podcast.
Mm.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
That it and what sort of, in looking at you, how you were proceeding, I think one of the things, the most important things that I learned is allowing your gift to evolve.
Yeah.
Right. Because you started, you know, go back room, go deep gloof, you know. Now we're literally sitting in your studio.
Yeah.
Right. And which is something that I don't think a lot of people acknowledge, that your gift is supposed to evolve. And when I let go of titles and saying, you know, I am a this, I am a that, and you let your gift evolve, you know, you grow in many ways, because there's many ways in which your spirit grows. And it doesn't grow a pathway necessarily for people who are not necessarily meant to go there.
Yes.
You know, but your gift, whatever it is, can evolve if you don't package it and sort of put parameters in it. You know, and I think that is in a way how spiritual mentorship can work, in that it's not about someone necessarily holding your hand every, you know, it's not about us meeting every week.
Yeah.
I think I speak to you once every 6 months or something.
Yeah. And we have candid conversations.
You know, like, and but at the same time, I think when two people are sort of open to what is happening and I think with us coming into this thing, when we're honest with ourselves and not be afraid, you know, whereas, but you still have those moments where you're afraid. So I think that is the biggest thing that has happened, to know that every person that you have consulted with has left something in you.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and it's not necessarily conflicting with anything, but it will touch on different things.
And
it's
at
like
a time,
it's like each piece is a piece of a puzzle.
Yeah.
It's not the whole puzzle. It's just a part of it. Each one will have something to say, but also I think people need to be careful with over consulting.
Serial solists.
Yeah.
I've done a video on it.
I think it's dangerous.
Kaholo.
You can confuse yourself.
And you're giving away your power again, because you're believing everything else that's been said to you, but you never have that moment when you sit down netongolagini and ask. Whatever it is that you feel that you need to ask in Dumbenyam, hambo buze msamo. Qale msamo. For the fact that you're even coming to my practice, ubigile na, ukupile tsela. So by the time we feel like people that they come from M17, they just have a headache or whatever the case is, whatever's going on. And from there, they drive straight to wherever they're going. Ukupile ning batimba oba felechetsa. Ukupile ning for their divine intervention in whatever you're struggling with. So that's the challenge.
Finding a spiritual mentor is tricky at best. In some ways, it is downright dangerous. And when you add social media into the mix, you can find yourself drowning in confusion and unable to make any kind of meaningful progress in your life. Online, it seems like everyone is an expert, or that some people were basically born with inherent information about spirituality. Then there's the different cliques and groups that people seem to belong to, where you only listen to certain healers and automatically you have to be against certain other healers. I had hoped that Ugogo Moyo was going to say that getting a spiritual mentor as someone navigating through African spirituality was simple and doable. But from what she said, I recognize that my hope is based on a seemingly deep-rooted fear of African beliefs, or rather, its impact on our lives. I think that we all get to a point where we know we need some kind of guidance, but we also want to put the conditions of how this guidance must happen. Like, yes, I want someone to explain certain things to me, but I don't want those translations or explanations to require action on my part. So in a way, I am looking for an answer that does not involve work on my part. By saying how powerless I feel when I approach a spiritual mentor, I am trying to shortcut myself out of the equation. We consciously disempower ourselves, believing that in doing that, we absolve ourselves of responsibility. Personally, I believe that everyone needs a spiritual mentor at some point in their lives, even if it is just for a short period. The reality is that whether you find a mentor or not is largely based on your own mindset and not whether or not that person is accessible or not. Let me tell you when you are not ready for a spiritual mentor. If you are not willing to be held accountable, you are not ready for a mentor. A relationship with a mentor is premised not just on what the mentor can do for you or the information they can supply you with, but more importantly, it's about you being held accountable. And I think that is what people fear the most. We fear being held accountable for what the solutions to our problems will demand of us. Secondly, if you are not prepared for your life to be disturbed in a profound way, then you are not ready for a mentor. Because what will happen is that you will want to pick only what feels good for you and feel compelled to discard what feels uncomfortable. So let's say you've thought long and hard about it and you feel like it's time for you to find a mentor or to speak to someone. I believe that a spiritual mentor has to be a qualified healer and not necessarily someone who has strong opinions about spirituality. And this is just me. I'm not dictating that that's what should be the case for everyone. I just feel that a person who has, I suppose, the qualifications, they do have knowledge that people outside of Ubungoma might not have, right? They understand things in a different dimension and they understand things in a different depth than people who just read things online and then formulate opinions about them. Not to say that those opinions are invalid, but if you want in-depth information, I personally believe that you need to speak to someone who is a healer. So let's say you've identified someone that you feel you connect with, but you've never met that person in real life. My personal advice is that when you approach them, you must approach them with honesty. By that, I don't mean offloading on them the saddest aspects of your life or elaborating on how much of a mess your life is. I don't mean send a person a long DM and expect them to give you a list of solutions to your problems. What I mean by honesty, I mean them. Tell them that you would like them to be your mentor at a particular point in time in your life or at this current moment. What is crucial here is that you have to be willing to pay for the person's time. This may sound odd, but the person that you are dealing with was trained to do what you're asking them to do. And it is important for them to be compensated, for one. On the other hand, the importance of you paying for that person's time will also help you to be more disciplined and not abuse the relationship that you have. Because if you feel like you can contact anyone at any point and tell them whatever story you want to tell them and expect them to constantly give you solutions, you are most likely never to implement the solutions that they give you. Whereas if you know that you're investing not just time, but also money, I believe that you'll be more willing to implement the solutions that they give you. So it's important for you to then ask them up what their consultation fee is. And if that person is then willing to sit with you, whether be it in person or online, then you can set up times and dates that will work for both of you. Now, if whatever the person tells you does not sit well with you during that consultation, don't run off to social media and start a rant. Respect the process. Respect the person and respect what it is that you're trying to do. Take your time. It doesn't help you believing that your life is a mess and then wanting to rush to solve everything in one or two consultations. The reality is that some things will take months, if not years, to resolve. And regardless of how desperate you may be, you need to learn to take your time for your own sake and for the sake of what it is that you're trying to do. If you don't agree with the person, don't ghost them and then go off and try to find someone who will tell you things that are a bit more palatable. I hope that from the conversation that I had with Gogo Moyo, you will learn that what each person will tell you has validity to some point. It just may be that you are not at that time attuned to what that person is telling you, or you are not at a point in your life where what they're telling you makes sense, but it does not necessarily mean that they are wrong. But it is also fundamentally important for you to understand that you are also in control. You need to take time to process information. You may not understand something now. You may understand it in a couple of weeks or in a couple of months' time. And if you still totally don't agree with it, be respectful in how you walk away from someone that you chose to speak to. Understand that at that point, they were doing their best to help you. Whether or not you find a mentor, I'd like to give you some tips on how to navigate learning about African spirituality, right? First of all, be careful of how social media impacts how you experience your spiritual journey. Be careful of how you attach yourself and your views to people online. And don't be too invested in people being who you want them to be rather than who they are. And don't be too invested in people's personal lives just because they are your mentors. Don't be too invested in their personal decisions about their lives just because you admire them. Also, social media is not the be-all and end-all of connecting with people. Also, social media is not the be-all and end-all of connecting with people. There's a healer in your community that you can speak to. There's even a healer in your family, probably, that you can talk to. The person who has been my mentor for many years is an old lady who is almost 80 years old. Just because someone is online or they have a following does not mean that people who are not online or don't have large followings don't have valid things to say. Be honest with yourself. Be clear about what your motives are for wanting to know certain things. Approaching things from a perspective of learning is, I think, much better than trying to approach them from a point of view of trying to fix your life. Because if you try to learn, you open up so much more for yourself. You are open to much more information without necessarily wanting only specific kinds of information. If you are looking to learn, you will not restrict yourself to only what makes sense to you or only what you want at that particular point in life. Because if you're only approaching it with the aim of fixing things, you only allow certain limited information into your mind. And when you don't get the information that you believe is the right one, you discard things that could actually potentially help you in that situation. It is fundamentally important to understand that your most crucial mentors are your own spiritual guides, your ancestors. You need ukuphahla regularly and consistently. You need to establish a relationship with your own guides. they are the ones who will lead you to the right people and the right information. They are the ones who will use your life experiences to open up certain lessons to you. And they are the ones who will always be in your corner, regardless of who would be in your life or who would not. So above all, trust them and trust yourself and trust your intuition. My name is Vusum Zinglande. Thank you so very much for joining me on another episode of The Journey Kwantu. I wish you light, I wish you courage, and I wish you all the best on your journey. Makwande.